DEC takes a new tack with the ore terminal cleanup in Skagway, and sockeye returns at the Chilkoot Weir break daily and weekly records last week. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is done watching from the sidelines as Skagway struggles with how to go about cleaning up legacy contamination in the ore basin. The lead contamination poses risks to the environment and human health. But cleanup plans are stalled because of a complicated web of landowners, users, and responsibilities. KHNS's Emily Files reports on DEC's new approach.
Let's all sit down together and work this out. That's the strategy DEC's Contaminated Sites program is taking with what Kara Coucher says is admittedly one of its most complex projects.
On the realm of complicated, it's definitely towards the top.
One thing that makes it complicated is all of the different parties involved. The municipality of Skagway owns the ore terminal land. The private company White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad leases it. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority owns the ore terminal facility, but another company, Mineral Services, operates it with business from the Yukon's Capstone Mining. On Monday, representatives from all of those parties met with DEC's Coucher and her colleague John Halverson. When was the last time a meeting like this between all of the stakeholders took place?
Oh, good question. Not since I've been around.
That's Skagway Mayor Mark Schaefer. He and five other municipal representatives took part in the three-hour discussion. Before this, DEC had been fairly hands-off. That's because the municipality was working out a lease extension with White Pass that would allow for the Gateway Project. The Gateway Project would give White Pass more years on its lease, and in exchange, the municipality would get access to make major renovations to the port. At the top of the list was cleaning up the contamination.
You know, the Gateway Project in the past was moving forward as part of that project. One of the components of it was the sediment cleanup. So it sort of appeared that those pieces and plans were coming together.
Then it fell apart. The lease extension went to a public vote and was overwhelmingly rejected. It left the municipality with lots of plans, but no clear way to execute them. For the past 9 months or so, progress has stalled. Coucher says that's why DEC decided to step in now.
You know, in our mind, we kind of viewed it as a kickoff meeting, and to open up the lines of communication amongst everybody. So I think those goals were definitely achieved.
Coucher and Halverson say people had different understandings of the situation at the ore terminal. For example, Halverson said some assumed that the area was slowly being capped with sedimentation over the years.
But some of the studies done a couple of years ago indicated there's actually some more erosional forces and dispersion of contaminants from that harbor area out into the deeper water. So, we don't want continued spread of contamination, and it's an issue that does need to be cleaned up.
Halverson says one of the next steps is to distribute the most up-to-date studies and information about the site to the different representatives. Another thing that makes the cleanup complicated is the question of who is responsible. By the state's definition, it's not just whoever is guilty of contaminating the area in the first place. Halverson says all of the parties involved in the meeting could be held liable for the cleanup. He says that's one reason why DEC is trying to encourage a collaborative approach. Mayor Schaefer says it seems like the meeting was productive in getting everyone on the same page.
Oh, I am very hopeful. I'm certain something's going to happen.
The department has the power to order the ore terminal stakeholders clean up the property by a certain date.
We did discuss the option of, if things don't work, we have enforcement authorities and we're willing to go down that path.
But Halverson says DEC would prefer to move the cleanup forward in a cooperative way. DEC plans to hold meetings on a regular basis now with the municipality, ADA, White Pass, Mineral Services, and Capstone. The next meeting is scheduled for September. The ultimate goal is to end the stalemate and for the parties to submit a plan for cleanup to DEC as soon as possible. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
Commercial fishermen in the Upper Lynn Canal are working overtime after a flood of sockeye salmon showed up last week. So far this season is shaping up to be a good one, with decent returns, healthy harvests, and larger fish. Wednesday, August 10th is officially Alaska Wild Salmon Day, and with an extended opener this week because of abundant sockeye, Lynn Canal gillnetters are celebrating hard. Last week saw a couple of escapement records set for the number of reds through the weir on the Chilkoot River.
It's a phenomenal push of fish all at once.
Mark Soggy is Haines' area management biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says a week and a half ago, the cumulative total of sockeye through the weir was around 30,000.
Now we're at 76. So we more than doubled. We've had a record, both a record week and a record daily escapement over 13,000 in one day, and 40,000 for last week.
He says there were clues that the big run was coming, but the count at the weir had fallen off the week before. So he was a little conservative with the openers.
Not this opening, but the week before, I did just a 24-hour opening, and we harvested about 20,000 sockeye probably in that week, and that was more conservative than people had done in the past probably. But at that point, we were sitting at 31,000 at escapement, and our goal range is 38 to 86. So
on Monday, Soggy hit the water to scope out the numbers and where the fleet was fishing. He says there were about 60 to 70 boats, which is a little low compared to the size of the fleet.
A lot of the boats were attracted to what was happening down further south in Taku, and in the Snetisham Hatchery actually has a chance to produce a huge number of sockeye. So I think that drew a lot of boats.
This week's fishing period in Section 15C was extended by emergency order until Thursday because of the sudden flux of sockeye. And it may be prolonged until the weekend, though nothing has been decided yet. The size of the sockeye on the Chilkoot side, which were scrawny last year, are a little more plump this season. As for the Chilkat, the department is not expecting a big year, and Soggy says some fishermen are reporting smaller fish, though that might just be the early run. At the fish wheels on the Chilkat River, about 3,000 fish have been counted, with a steady 50 to 100 fish per day. Soggy says the numbers at Chilkat Lake are okay at around 20,000 so far. That's just above the minimum number that the department likes to see by now.
But right now we're tracking okay. Our expectation is not for a strong Chilkat run, but you never know.
Harvest numbers for sockeye aren't tabulated yet, but the strong chum run earlier this season saw at least 800,000 netted. The return of pink salmon was low across northern southeast. The commercial season in northern southeast lasts through September with Klahini and Chilkat chums and Chilkat sockeye. But Soggy says until he knows more about those numbers, he'll err on the side of caution when it comes to opener lengths in the near future. Soggy says as far as he knows, the price of sockeye and chum have stayed pretty consistent throughout this season at around $1.50 per pound for reds and around 60 cents for chum. Last season saw prices drop after two previous banner years. The average for sockeye last year, according to Fish and Game, was just over $1.50 per pound, while chum averaged 44 cents. Next week, the fishing period doesn't open until Monday at noon instead of the usual Sunday. That's to coincide with the Juneau Salmon Derby. And Soggy says it'll give subsistence fishermen in Chilkoot Inlet more time to get their share on the weekend without the conflict of commercial boats. The commercial salmon season started on June 19th in the Upper Lynn Canal and runs until about the second week of October. Of course, that all depends on the fish. Two Haines incumbents have filed for re-election. Assemblywoman Diana Lapham put her name in the running this week. She's finishing up her first term on the Assembly. The seats occupied by Lapham and Assemblyman George Campbell open in October. Campbell has not filed for re-election at this point. School board member Sarah Swinton also hopes to serve another 3 years. Swinton was the first candidate to file late last week. She's served on the school board for 14 years. The seats opening this fall are held by Swinton and Lisa Schwartz. In Skagway, there are also two assembly and two school board seats up for grabs. The assembly seats are currently occupied by Spencer Morgan and Tim Cochran. The school board seats are held by Darren Belial and Mark Smith. Belial's seat has a 3-year term. Smith's has a 2-year term because he was appointed to the position last year. No one has declared candidacy in the Skagway races. The filing deadline for Skagway is August 15th. Haines residents have until August 19th to declare their interest. and the municipal election takes place on October 4th. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.